Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get right into it today, aren't we, Serta? Interesting. Interesting selection.
I like it.
It's like Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, that's... I will say now there's intrigue. I have no idea what you're gonna bring us back with. Now,
I kind of like this one.
Okay,
that's how
we're starting today on a Tuesday. Okay, all right. It is Cody and Gold hanging out, getting this off to a good start. It appears here on the show. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta on Twitter, and the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 913-576-7610. Coming up in about 30 minutes, you'll hear from Scott Frost, and it looks like Nebraska trying to be able to play outside of the Big Ten if needed. Is that actually realistic? And also in the 11 o'clock hour, it's the Tuesdays. That means the Forum. Rob Britton from The Drive going to join us in studio. But where are we at with college football? It's an absolute mess, continues to be an absolute mess, and it looks like at this point, we've got a little standoff in a way between players and coaches together. They're all united, it appears, players and coaches, and then the school presidents. It's coaches versus school presidents. It's a lot like realignment from 2010 because you also now have politicians at every level seemingly now involved in pushing what they believe should be happening. There's, as we know, so much money involved in this, and it seems like if you were a player, you do want to play. Nobody's ever questioned that. And if you're a coach, you're certainly not going to be the one football coach that says, yeah, all the guys are telling me they want to play, but I'm gonna tell them we can't play. Every coach, of course, is going to come out and say they want to play. So I'm not surprised to see players and coaches are united on this, and now it's president versus coach, essentially, at the university level.
It's logic versus not logic. The problem is that coaches and players will always risk their own safety to play the sport. Not every player, not every coach, but a large majority. And you need people who will see the other side of this argument to do it. And what we saw yesterday, and the reason why we didn't get a cancellation yet from the Big Ten, who said to have a call this morning, same as the Big 12, the reason why we didn't see those cancellations yet is because what I think the Big Ten was hoping for, Gold, is that they were going to have some people who were going to go arm in arm with them down the road of college cancellation and everything would be fine. And then they found out that they didn't have as much support as they thought they did. The report that the Pac-12 is still going to cancel no matter what the Big 12 did. Now, I'll wait to see on all these. I'm not convinced anybody necessarily is going down yet, only because it seems like they're looking for some support to go with it. But we saw kind of what I thought was going to happen. Some conferences are looking to postpone their season to the spring schedule, and other conferences are not willing to do that. The SEC does not appear ready to budge at all. And the ACC feels like they'll go along with what the SEC does. And then the Big 12 is sitting around like, hey guys, are we supposed to play? I'm confused. Because, you know, that's how it goes for the Big 12 on occasion.
The Big 12 seems to have a ton of power right now out of all the, they're kind of
the
one
that, the swing vote.
If you see, there's the meme floating around. It's like The Bachelor. It was the meme where the Big 12's got the rose and all the other conferences are waiting for that rose and want to find out if they're the one that's chosen. It seems like that's where the SEC is at and the ACC. Like, is the Big 12 going to pick us or is the Big 12 going to pick the Big 10 or the Pac-12?
It seems like that's where it's at. I think it's not as much power as that because I don't think the Big 12 is going to change the SEC and the ACC's decision to try to play college football this year. Where the Big 12 could have some weight is if they decide to pick up some of the passerbys who are looking for a possible home if their conference won't allow them to play. Like, the Big 12 can be the, you know, like, all of a sudden becomes incredibly dateable, which is very different than where they were. You mentioned conference realignment. That is not who they were. They were desperately trying to find a girl to take home at 3 a.m. at the end of conference realignment. Like, hey, West Virginia, you want to play football with us? Yay! Don't you remember? I mean, that's how it went down, right? Like, some of the schools in the Big 12, and it's worked out. Like, some of the schools have ended up being better programs than we originally thought, right? It was like, oh, look, they've actually been better on. West Virginia is probably still the one. I think if you went back on, you might want to have gone a different direction than you did there. And at the time, their football program was at least good. It is not as good now. It's fine. It's not, you know, it's not like epically bad, but it's not great or anything. But they're in a weird position because it seems like they were kind of hoping people were going to make the decision for them. If all the majority decided to play, the Big 12 was going to play. If all the majority had decided not to play, I think the Big 12 would have been like, okay, we won't play. And now what's happened is it still feels like the Pac-12 is going to go down. The Big 10 feels like it's leaning that direction, although they're wavering. And the SEC and ACC seem like they're determined to play. Now the Big 12 is like, ooh, not sure which way we're supposed to go with this.
Well, I think it's just pressure is what we've seen change in the last 48 hours. When it got to be all the reports about the Big 10 or any of these conferences seriously considering postponing their football seasons to the spring and ultimately maybe having to outright cancel it, you have the coaches and the players and athletic directors, and that's really three separate groups of individuals putting immense public pressure and pressure otherwise on the university presidents and therefore the conference commissioners, and they're hoping that that will make the result different. I don't know if it actually is going to be. What it may have done, though, is bought them time. It may have made it so a decision doesn't come as quickly. It seemed like the Big Ten today may have that decision made. If that was reports yesterday, we'll see as today progresses, does it get to that point in time? But that, I think, is what they might be able to actually accomplish. If you're trying to pinpoint what's the end result based off of the recent reaction from coaches and players, I think it at least delays it a little bit. But at the same time, I understand the frustration from the players and the coaches, because it's, if you are going to continue to tell us that you're hearing from your medical experts, you're hearing from consultants, whatever it may be, that, hey, this is not something that's feasible for us to do, play college football. Okay, then show us what they are actually providing you data-wise. And I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. There's reportedly a study from Pac-12 and some of their medical doctors that was leaked out that suggests about some long-term health impact that maybe has the Pac-12 more concerned than anything else. Is that the information that Big Ten and everybody else has? If so, if you want to also alleviate some of the negative pressure that's, you know, PR around it, then go ahead and release some of that information. Maybe that will make it more understandable for some people versus them just hearing you're trying to shut down college football. Oh my goodness, what are you doing? You're overreacting. That if you actually have something more there to show people, maybe it makes more sense for others. I don't think that all these conferences by the end of the week we're going to know one way or the other what they're doing. No, I think especially to your point about the SEC, I mean, it's they have till the 29th of September, till their first game. There's no reason for the SEC to make that decision today. There's some of these other conferences have a little bit less time to wiggle with. And for example, what some of the coaches are saying. This is Louisville's head coach, Satterfield, who said, you know what, they need football.
In my opinion, you know, if they ended up opting out of this fall, then, you know, what are our guys going to go do? You know, what's going to be their purpose at that point? You know, these guys have been playing football most of their lives, and we're in the fall. In the fall, we play football. That's what we do. You know, so what are they going to do at that point? Are they going to just, we have all these protocols. We're testing. We're doing all these things to prevent any spread of this virus. But if they don't have purpose, they're 18 to 22 year olds. I mean, do we think they're just going to sit in their room 24 hours a day? It's not going to happen. I mean, that's the reality of it. So this gives them purpose. This gives them structure, and it enables them to stay safe.
I don't like the way some adults in power in college talk about college kids, though. Like, I give them a hard time, right? Like, kids are stupid. They'll do dumb things. But they're not going to stay in their room 24 hours a day. Like, he's giving, like, they need structure. He's talking, like, some kids will handle their business. This has nothing to do with college football in my mind. Some kids, some adults will handle their business. I don't have to go any further than looking at the Indians or the Cardinals or the Marlins to see sometimes grown men can't handle their business. Grown women can't. Like, it's person to person. You, Gold, during this entire run, have been to like 15 places in 6 months. I've been to like 12. Serta's been to like 14 if we include the camping trip he took that didn't take him in town. Like, we talked about, like, how many places, like, you know, we've gotten carry out, or we, you know, occasionally I have to go to the grocery store. I'm obviously exaggerating the number of places
sure
we have been. But, like, for the most part, I have gone nowhere and done nothing. So it's not to say that, and that doesn't mean you can't go somewhere or do something and still be safe and smart about it, too. It's not like Scott Satterfield needs to maybe have a little more faith that people can handle their business outside of it. I understand he's saying, I'm giving the structure to make sure they don't get in trouble. But that hasn't stopped these other conferences or schools or teams from still getting in trouble.
I can't go ahead, sir.
It's just it's frustrating to listen to these adults, and their reasoning, at least the way they're trying to portray it, is this is better for them. It's safer for them. We're going to make sure that they stay out of trouble and that they do what they need. Like, I would have less of an issue with it if they were just honest about it. If they were just, we're going to lose a ton of money, and we don't know if our athletic program is going to be able to recover from it. We need to play sports because we need money. Like, at least be honest about it. Don't stop trying to act like your priority is the safety of the players and of the kids by saying we need them to come in and play football because they're not going to be responsible if they don't have that foundation in place. That's ridiculous.
And we'll hear from Scott Frost over at Nebraska coming up at 10:30, about 20 minutes from now, because he was honest. I felt like he was very honest, to your point a little bit there, sort of just about the money. He was honest about that. But I think
more than others are being,
you know, whether it's Satterfield at Louisville or it's Dabo, who had like a long conference call last night with the media. And we're going to continue to, you know, hear from coaches over the next couple of days and athletic directors, I'm sure. It seems like there's an immense amount of frustration. And I get it, because the coaches 2 or 3 months ago were told that, hey, these are all of the protocols you need to follow. This is like what needs to happen for you to have a season. And for the most part, they have followed those. And then now they're being told maybe you can't play. And I think that's
sure
that's part of the frustration.
Like, we were doing when what Harbaugh, you asked. Why can't we play?
Right. Like, when Harbaugh yesterday from Michigan puts out their numbers, and they've done very well. They have a very small amount of positive cases, if any, right now across the athletic department. And they found a way to make it work to this point in time. And that's fantastic. And so I think that's where a lot of the frustration is. Like, wait a second. We've been doing this for a couple months. We've gotten through all these protocols. We've kept safe. Our players are being responsible, yada, yada, yada. And then you're still telling us we can't play. And I think that's where, from the player perspective, where those that have, which is a large majority, been responsible over the last couple of months, trying to make sure they can have a college football season. And then now they're being told they can't. I'm just trying to, I think that's important to know why, if you're wondering, well, why are they frustrated? It's because they feel like they've been doing what they've been asked, and it's still not going to be good enough for them.
Welcome to world of everyday life.
Just saying.
When I stopped doing stuff months ago, and I still can't go to a movie or eat at a restaurant and feel comfortable. Like, I mean, it sucks, but this is also part of where we've all been. I understand what you're talking about, because that would bring me, and does bring me, immense frustration, just like anyone else. And I'm willing to listen to the fact that college football can continue for some of the reasons that other people have pointed out for being good reasons behind it. I think sometimes they try to hide behind the wrong reasons for college football. Like, oh, these kids will just get in a bunch of trouble. They're just hooligans if they don't play football. That's essentially what he just said. And you're like, that's the wrong reason to hide behind why college football can happen. There's a lot of reasons why college football can and might happen. That's not it.
We'll talk more about this. Again, you'll hear from Scott Frost at Nebraska. He's pretty much saying they're going to try to play whoever, wherever. It doesn't really matter. We'll hear from that in about 15 minutes. It looks like baseball, though, is going forward their plan for the postseason, and that would be perhaps holding it in a bubble-type format. Jeff Passan reporting that. This had been rumored for really from the beginning of the baseball season and during summer camp as well, but they're now having preliminary discussions at the highest levels to look at a bubble, and that Major League Baseball is embracing the bubble. And what could it look like? I think this is something that should be easily achievable for Major League Baseball, because we're talking a month, right? We're talking a month. We're not talking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months to make it happen. 1 month, you can't have your World Series delay. You just can't, for one, financial reasons. Two, You have the weather impact at some point that could hit you if you let this thing drag out to late November or December. You just can't afford to do that. Look at what's happening. The Cardinals have played 5 baseball games. You can't let one team have an outbreak that delays the World Series. You can't have the Royals in the ALDS waiting around for 2 weeks. Yes, that's right. I said the Royals in the ALDS. You can't have them wait around for 2 weeks, Cody, for the next round of the playoffs to place. Yeah.
I like your optimist attitude at the moment after the 1-4 game winning
streak. That's what 4 games will do for you.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, they should be targeting LA or any of the retractable roof stadiums that are not, obviously LA is not retractable, but you get my point. So Texas or Houston, for example, with the Rangers and the Astros, 3-city bubble, that makes all the sense in the world for the postseason. And LA, the reason why I say LA, there was talk that because they lost the All-Star game, let them have the ability to have the neutral site World Series there.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Dodgers might be in the World Series.
To me, it's the easiest possible solution because you've had trouble and it's not endless trouble, right? The Royals aren't having any more positive tests right now. They're still having injury stuff, like Francisco Cordero went on the 60-day IL yesterday. They're still having, you know, injury issues, but they're not having any more positives. That had been mostly confined to just a couple of teams, and mostly the ones who we could now backtrack as being in trouble, right? Like breaking the rules. So we know that, like, the regular system is working, but just as an extra precaution because it was already written in, you're talking about a month. That's the shortest bubble anyone's been asked to be in. That's shorter than the MLS bubble. That's shorter than the NBA bubble we've asked any particular league to be in. So for 1 month, if we ask you to bubble in 3 cities for the first part of the playoffs and in 1 city for the World Series, like, you just go 3-2-1. For the first round of it's everybody's in 1 city for that, and then it gets reduced to 2. The same 2 of the 3 cities. We're not moving around. 2 of the same 3 cities it's in, and then we settle down into 1 final city for the World Series. And you know what? You can even leave both of those cities on notice as a possible so that it doesn't end up being the home city for one. Because if you have 3 bubble cities, you can avoid putting it in anyone's home park completely. And yeah, there's an advantage to being in your home park, even if there are no fans, if they're just going to let the Dodgers have the home dugout. This might surprise you to find out. It turns out dugouts are not equally nice at all parks, and sometimes the home dugout is nicer than the road one.
Just like the clubhouse, no question.
And what are you going to do, switch them every day with COVID? That's insane. You're not going to do that. You flip a coin for whoever gets the nicer one, but you just make sure it's not in the home dugout so that one team's not getting the distinct advantage over the rest.
I would fully expect baseball to move forward. There's honestly, what's the deterrent to doing this other than the last part, there might be an advantage if the bubble happens to be in the city of one of the teams that actually does make the postseason. You want to make sure you have a postseason. You want to have it without delays. You can't afford for your postseason to be delayed. So this is the way to do it. You do the bubble. I think this is a no-brainer approach.
Heck, this is the money they wanted to protect anyway. So this is a logical thing.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if we see, the NBA's bubble has been going on for, is going to end up going on for about 3 months or so. But is that out of the question even for the NFL, Cody? I mean, you think about Major League Baseball, they've got multiple games and more teams involved, and you only have 1 game in the NFL for the postseason for each team on a weekend. But is there a chance that you wanted to make sure you had your NFL postseason? Could the NFL end up just for the postseason going to kind of a bubble format? I don't think that's impossible as well, because you're only talking about a short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it's just not, it's not asking much of them in this scenario to request, to request that. It's just not that crazy. I assume Major League Baseball will move forward with it. It makes all the sense in the world, and all you're trying to do is protect the maximum amount of value of dollar. If you're not the Cardinals, you've already played more than a quarter of your games. So you've made it a pretty decent stretch already. You're Kansas City, you've already played more than 25% of your games. Cardinals, not so much. Like, they got problems, and we got to solve that, but the Royals and those teams are in pretty good shape right now.
Cardinals have played 5 baseball games, and that'll be the case on Friday. I know we'll talk more about them. And
on Friday, it's Tuesday.
Like what options you have if you're Major League Baseball at this point, because what a mess that has been.
I've got it figured out, by the way. We can talk about it more later. They just forfeit all their games against the Royals, and those are wins for the Royals. Problem solved. I fixed it, everybody.
I mean, that does fit into the
ALDS.
They
can play somebody else.
That's how you get to the ALDS, Cody. Just hand over some wins. So, no, we will talk a little bit more about that, but it's going to be, I think, a simple solution for baseball. They just got to figure out what cities they want to do it at. And I know people say, well, Texas, is that the state you want to go to? But the Rangers have a brand new retractable roof ballpark. That makes all the sense. You're not worried about rain delays postponing it either, because it's not just that. You still have the impact just of Mother Nature as well, and you don't want your baseball's biggest stage being postponed. You can't afford to do that with the way the schedule is set up and trying to get this thing in as quickly as possible as well. So we'll talk more baseball coming up in the next half hour. Did you see who is on Cameo? I know you're probably the biggest fan of Cameo on this show. Again, Cameo, easily. It's celebrities, whoever are on there. You can pay them a certain fee, and they'll record a personalized video message to you. You can also chat with them for a select fee. And did you see who's on it? Bill Self made the announcement yesterday.
Bill, huh?
He's now on Cameo.
Hey, folks. Bill Self here, the Kansas University Jayhawks. I hope this message finds you and your loved ones safe and healthy during these very unique times we're all experiencing. I'm here today to tell you about a way we can hopefully have some fun, provide some entertainment, and raise a little money. All proceeds from this will go toward player-led initiatives on our campus and in our community, obviously promoting equality. All you have to do to get involved is go to the app Cameo. And when you do this, click on and you'll find different ways in which maybe you can surprise one of your closest friends or a loved one. I think you'll like this. Check us out.
$100, Cody. Just $100, and it goes to a good cause as well. That seems like actually a pretty good bargain. If you consider what some of the
pricing
on...
What do you think he'll say? How far do you think he's willing to go? If I ask him to say something about the NCAA...
Bill, tell us your thoughts on the NCAA.
No, I got like a script.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot more like that Adidas video with the chains. Like, I went full swagger, Bill.
Uh-huh.
You should wear it in the video so he knows what you're about.
Ooh. Well, wait, that wouldn't work. He doesn't, you just tell him what to wear. Yeah.
It's not like a video chat?
No.
Well, that is available.
$2.99 for the chat. Now, I don't know if
that's probably text chat.
Yeah.
But there are ones where you can do Zoom calls.
Yeah, so he doesn't Bill's offer got
the,
that.
If he offered the Zoom call, then we're really talking Serta. But you can request.
Oh, he raised the price.
What?
It was $100 yesterday. It's $150. It was not one.
Somebody in that athletic department was like, $100 isn't enough.
So see, I told you $100 is way too good of a deal. It was $100 yesterday. Now it's $150. It's for charity, so it's a good cause.
Well, good news for $150, he might be even more willing to full middle finger the NCAA. And we could do it like in a really sleek way.
No, there's
it
a bunch of people totally have already paid. Money. There's now a bunch of different videos. Birthday celebration, someone had to do one. Yeah, he's already knocked out like three or four, five, six.
Let us know on the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line 913-576-7610. What would you want Bill Self to say if you paid him for this? Somewhere between Adidas material or like firing off a joke about his hair is solid. Like, how about, can I just get a minute video of him like tugging on it? That was always the joke with it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, like, why not? Like, let's find out.
I was trying to look at
it. I'm not even picking on it. I just, like, I want Bill to be in his natural form. He's reportedly one of the most charismatic,
yes,
controls the room,
yeah,
life of the party type of guys. I want full Bill, like, smoking jacket, four bourbons deep, let loose Bill. That's what I want. I don't even know if he drinks bourbon. That's just,
you know. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I was trying just to see. Now, it's $150. It's a little bit different. But just to give you an idea of how underpriced I felt that was for a while, I was trying to just look up athletes, that what they charge. For example, just personal. Andrew Siciliano of NFL Network charges $60. And Bill Self was out here only charging $100. He was way too cheap.
Siciliano. Who else can I get for $100, though? Can I do better than Bill?
Emmitt Smith, $750 for Emmitt Smith.
New.
Thaddeus Lewis, $10. $10.
Hey, you can get Royals starting pitcher Chris Bubich.
That's right.
Who starts tonight for Kansas City for just
$15. And it goes to Royals charities too on that one. Terry Francona of the Indians.
Someone said he wants him to just say salty iguana.
He is.
Or pay him just to say M-I-Z. There's no way he's doing that for $150. You're going to have to double it.
Yeah, that's not happening whatsoever. So there you go. Good cause, at least, with that. And the price has gone up in the last 24 hours. Coming up next, we'll hear from Scott Frost of Nebraska. He says they're committed to play no matter where or who. We'll explain if that's feasible or not next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, hanging out on a Tuesday. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes. Royals making a roster move. Mike Matheny announcing that the Royals have promoted infielder Jason Guzman to the 28-man roster. It's only 20 years old. Is that one of those guys you thought being called up at some point this year, promoted?
He didn't hit or play above low A. Remember, we're making a big deal about how Chris Buvich made the jump from A ball to the major leagues this year. He at least pitched at Wilmington. Jason Guzman, I'm told it's pronounced Jason. I actually texted the person who called Lexington baseball last year.
There you go.
So let's hope that they're right. Sometimes that
seems
that
like
story,
a good source.
Still, that doesn't always still come up the right way, right? Like, still sometimes like a player just lies about how it's pronounced growing up. But Jason Guzman.
I mean, it's spelled J-E-I-S-O-N.
No, it makes sense.
Jason.
He didn't play above Lexington last year. Now, he was a champ with Lexington last year, so the guy knows how to do it. Clint Scholes, whose opinion I do trust significantly because he follows Royals baseball in the minor leagues about as well as anybody I know for Royals Academy, he said I asked for a scouting report in text, and he says he thinks he's a future 20 power guy, 20 home run power guy, doesn't have the hit tool yet, so doesn't hit for a lot of average or take walks very well, but can play every single infield position as well. Super athlete, he said. So great athlete, has some pop, doesn't hit for a lot of contact, and apparently might make his major league debut at some point. He's 20. That was not the name I was necessarily doing. And people love his glove. Like, he's supposedly a really, you know, like some of those guys, they'll call it like 20, like major league ready infielders, but they got a lot of other things, but he's never played above low A. I'm kind of hoping he's in the lineup today just because I want to see it.
Well, the Royals are in action off the off day yesterday. 5:40 first pitch here on 610 Royals in Cincinnati, taking on the Reds, and Chris Buvich on the mound for KC. We'll talk more Royals baseball specifically at 11 o'clock. The Forum, Rob Redden of The Drive, going to join us in studio. So college football continues to navigate this thing, trying to figure out what on earth they're going to do. We know it's coaches and players are on the same page, maybe some athletic directors with them, and then it seems to be the presidents, as we led the show with. Scott Frost up at Nebraska, of course, they're in the Big Ten. You used to spend many, 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 many years in the Big 12, and he has said, hey, they're committed to playing no matter what.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what, no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
So alluding to at the end that, hey, if the Big Ten's not going to move forward with the season, we are playing football this year. It sounds great. It certainly caters to your players. It caters to your fan base. And that makes sense, but I don't think they can. So we said this yesterday, like, I think Serta and I were on the same page a little bit, just with, like, this doesn't seem feasible. There's a lot of legalities that would prevent you from just going to play another conference. If I'm the Big Ten, I'm not going to let them just go play Big 12 opponents this year, whatever it may be. And then Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports had a column about this very thing this morning and kind of mentioned what he's hearing is that due to the grant of rights and the agreements between the TV networks and the conferences, that Nebraska, barring something completely unforeseen, allowing them to be released of that for 1 year, that he doesn't think it's even feasible. It sounds good. It caters to your fans, but no, there's no way if I'm the Big Ten Conference and we decided not to play football this year that I'm letting Nebraska go and play football in the Big 12 this year. If that's the option that they would have.
Like, to me, this is not surprising that they would try. And why shouldn't they try? And also, why wouldn't the Big Ten let them out for 1 year?
Because the same reason you gave me yesterday, the benefit that would have for the Big 12 or the ACC or the whoever's deciding to play. You were selling me yesterday. You know, you're trying to sell me on how beneficial this can be for the conferences that do play. It's the same.
Hell
so
yeah.
Be why the Big Ten wouldn't want to happen.
But if they're not, like, they're not less negatively impacted. They're not negatively impacted by allowing them to go at all. Other than
I think they absolutely are.
Really? By what? Helping the other conference?
Yes.
God, this is the problem with college football. My God.
You don't think there's a negative for the Big Ten?
They're all, like, in competition with each other.
Well, of course they are.
Not as, like, football teams, but as conferences.
Of course they are.
It's a mess.
You don't think that the Big Ten, if Big Ten said, we're shutting her down, we're not playing to the spring, and Ohio State, Nebraska, Iowa, whoever, decided, you know what? No, screw you, conference and the decision makers. We're going to go play. And somehow through the legalities, they were able to find a loophole and they're able to go play football in another conference or as an independent slide, you know, through another conference. You don't think that's bad for the Big Ten, both on directly what it means for the other conference,
I mean,
but also
recruiting wise, this is going to have a real impact. to me.
Yeah, there's plenty of negatives for that, for the Big Ten Conference, if another school was allowed to go play in another conference this year. Absolutely. Now, if fans are fine with it, of course. If I was a Nebraska fan, I'm liking what my coach is telling me.
I'm not getting to play any of your games anyway. So letting you out of the one-year part of that, I would just ask for a little bit of a kickback. Just a little bit of that kickback on whatever Big 12 money you're going to get there. We're gonna need a little bit
That's
of that
the thing.
As
who's
your
giving,
TV rights holder.
Who's giving, who's giving Nebraska that money? I know there's no Big 12 school that wants to share that with Nebraska.
If I were Nebraska, when I asked for the one-year waiver to go do what I would do, I would go look for an independent TV deal. Because I think Nebraska, now they would not get Notre Dame money to do it. But if there are only three, let's say in this hypothetical, there are only three conferences that are playing football, Nebraska can find a TV deal. And they got to cut in the Big 12 as part of the revenue sharing model of this. They're not getting the full Big 12 share because we're helping you out by allowing you to have somewhere to play. Because other than that, they got to find a full independent schedule. And the SEC said they're just going 10. The ACC said they're just doing 10 plus one, the Notre Dame school they've already helped out. That leaves them with the Big 12. Because the SEC, rather than take on more outside teams, would just play more SEC games if they want. The Big 12, this is the biggest advantage they have ever had. Ever had. Now, I at least appreciate that Frost is being honest about it and saying, man, this is about, $180 to $220 million. You're like, yeah. Or yeah. 80 to 120, sorry. It is, if there's no football season. Yeah, that's it. That's the biggest factor of why we don't or do want to play football if we're Nebraska. And I think what this could form is some real negative emotions between member institutions and their membership if they're being held back from making $100 million if they're willing to take the risk and they have a place to go. Like they get a deal in place to go play some games against the Big 12 and an independent TV contract that works well enough for them to like stop the bleeding a little bit. Nebraska's going to be pretty bothered by the fact the Big 10 won't even let them do it.
They can be bothered all they want. That's...
They signed a deal?
Yeah, again. I mean, there's and again, it's just, do you have time to go that route? Do the conferences have time to make a decision on whether or not they want to play this year? Yeah, I still think they have time to do that. But do you have time to find out the Big Ten decides to cancel its season, and then you as an institution try to find out legally if you can actually do it and come up with those agreements all by the time you're supposed to play the season? I don't know if that's feasible. And actually, to that point, if I'm the Big Ten, it's another reason why I do delay my decision. If I'm the Big Ten, I delay my decision. One, let's see how this goes. But also, I delay my decision if I'm the Big Ten. If we know we're going to cancel, even if they know today, I delay it. Because that prevents potentially Nebraska or any of these other schools that want to go play in another conference this year, think they can go try to play. It makes it nearly impossible. If the Big Ten waits to the last minute, it just wouldn't be feasible for Nebraska to go find another opponent. I'm talking about just from the business end and from what if I would do if I was the Big Ten Conference. If I know I'm calling it off, why would I make it easy on Nebraska or these other schools to go play for another conference and benefit that conference? Why?
I know.
It does nothing for the Big Ten. It makes the Big Ten look even worse.
Does it? How does it make them look worse?
Because if this is all done, if it all settles to where the Big Ten is the only one that doesn't play college football.
It sounds like the Pac-12 is probably going down.
But if your member institutions aren't on board with your own conference's decision-making.
You look even dumber.
And they decide to go play somewhere else.
If I'm telling you right now, and I think the period is closed for a little bit longer than normal, the recruiting period, the second I got to make text to recruits again in like a month, hey, oh, you wanted to go to Michigan? Those idiots can't even get their lives together. Clearly, we're going to let you play football here. You should obviously come here. Come on over.
Scott Frost just has to say a lot of this too, though, because you're not going to be the coach that comes out against his own players, because we know the players want to play. So anytime we hear from all these coaches saying we're going to play wherever, you make those comments because it looks, whether they believe him or not, and I think Scott Frost does, but like whether you believe it or not, you aren't going to send the message to your own team that you're not fighting for them to play football this year. That's just, that would go against everything these guys have preached to their own players. So that's why whenever we hear from these coaches, it's notable to hear it, yes, but at the same time, show me a coach that's not saying he wants his football team to play this year. Then I'm really going to perk up and listen, right? That to me is when it's more newsworthy. Now, Scott Frost did talk about his worry about the player safety. It wasn't just about the money that he brought up, even though we know that's why the higher levels want to play. But he did bring up his concern of safety.
If we cancel football tomorrow, we're throwing up a white flag and saying this can't be done. And if that's the decision that's made, we'll certainly abide by it. But let's think about our players and their health and well-being for a minute. Do we keep them here? Do we send them home? Where do they go? What do they do? What do I do with them? The virus is going to be here whether we play football or not, and our kids are going to have an opportunity to contract the virus whether we're playing football or not. I don't have license to talk about the number of players we've had that have tested positive, but what I can tell you is we're very sure that the vast majority, if not all of them, contracted the coronavirus somewhere outside of our building and not in our workouts.
That gets back to the argument, which is that they're going through testing.
They're not going
to
get it here.
They're going through testing every few days. They're in their own essentially bubble versus them being out with the rest of the student body.
Yes, but they also,
Which a lot of these schools, by the way, are still starting online. A lot of them are starting online.
Tons. Which, you know, if you're not willing to have them in there, why are they playing football instead? Because money, and we all know the reasons why. They got a lot of decisions to make. I think that this is over the next week, 2 weeks. Because I don't think the SEC is making a decision for like a week or two.
No, maybe they're not playing for a month and a half.
The Big 12's got a call today. I don't know what's coming out of that. I mean, there are still reports of the Big 10 and the Pac-12. There's a division between people who lead those universities and the players and coaches that want to play football. Which way they go with that, that mystery still remains.
In baseball, we have a team that has only played 5 games this year.
Yeah.
That would be the St. Louis Cardinals. And we learned that another game is postponed. That was already supposed to be a makeup. So the Cardinals and Tigers, and this is where it directly impacts the AL Central.
Oh, Cardinals.
Their doubleheader postponed on Thursday. And so the Cardinals are going to wake up on Friday morning, have only played 5 baseball games, and we don't even know about Friday yet. So what do you do if you're baseball? It's one thing to have 3 or 4 games postponed. You go ahead and do a couple triple headers or double headers on 3 consecutive days if you have to and all that, right? But you're at a point where you have to make a decision soon if the Cardinals continue to not be able to play baseball games. Everybody else is moving along, but the St. Louis Cardinals, and it's impacting the NL Central, the AL Central, the trickle-down effect in that regard. Most realistic is use your taxi squad. Again, isn't that the point? They need to be forced to play with the taxi squad. I thought that was the initial point of a taxi squad being put into place, was if you had a couple players test positive, you could just call them up. Even if they aren't the talented players or the guys you're replacing, so be it. We need
the
to continue
Royals
to play.
Just call up a 20-year-old.
Sure. If we keep pushing the schedule back, there's no way they're going to be able to make up the games. Like, they're running out to where it's not going to be feasible. Not to mention, I don't want to kick them out of the league either. Some people have said, oh, that's an option, because that also would screw things up for everyone in the Central, AL Central, NL Central.
Game-wise, it would.
For example, I mean, like, They're scheduled to play the Cubs, Reds, and Brewers 10 times apiece. They haven't played them at all.
Mm.
So that means each of those teams only plays 50 games all of a sudden, and they would have an advantage. So then then the Reds only have to play 50. The Cubs, the Brewers only would have to play 50. If you're going to break it down by winning percentage, that screws over other teams that have played the full 60. That's not fair either. It's a tough spot. I don't think kicking them out of this is the solution either, though.
Just make everyone playoff teams is not the actual solution I want to go with. They have to force them to start playing games right now, which means play their practice squad guys, right? Mm-hmm. Or not as they call it, their taxi squad guys. Put them all on there. That's your roster. Play baseball. Start there. Absolutely start there. And then load them up with doubleheaders. And I know you're going to say that has a negative impact on other teams they have to play. It does. And it's not those other teams' fault. Let's say they wanted to, like, squeeze more time in the schedule. So one of the Royals games now becomes a doubleheader because they need them to play in 2 games instead of 3 so they can get to this city sooner.
Now that sucks.
So out of that 4-game series, they can play 2 doubleheaders.
So you're playing 2 7-inning games.
But because I understand that, but because the way the schedule works and you essentially just play the same 10 teams anyway, it kind of balances itself out for how it generally affects the playoff pool of teams you're playing. That's the simple, and it sucks to be you, Cardinals. And I would say catch them up as soon as humanly possible, just so you have the space on the back end. So when the Cardinals get back to action, your doubleheaders every day, like let's say they're getting ready to play the Tigers, right? They're supposed to play them 6 times. You're playing them all 6 this weekend. And that series you were supposed to play them in September, we're opening up that part of your schedule for the teams that we know you're going to need to play again, and we're going to leave you in that city longer. I'm playing make good now if I'm Major League Baseball, because the only way I'm even going to feasibly get them to those 60 games, if I start making them up now, which I'm dead serious. So for the rest of their schedule now, if you were scheduled to play that team, and maybe it's not three doubleheaders all in a row, maybe it's two doubleheaders, and then you only got two more games against the Tigers moving forward, and it's going to take a schedule maker one massively long headache to try to figure out how these games are. And you know what you also might have to do? Switch up who they play how much. Maybe they don't play the Royals six times anymore, and instead they play them three, because they can more
really
easily
unbalance the schedule even more.
With the teams they play, sure. Like you're saying, like, well, you know, well, we only had to play the Tigers eight times and they had to play them 14, right? When it comes to that. But that's better than, like, to me, the imbalance of the teams you play is better than the imbalance of the number of games. So, like, if they got to play, like, if they get the benefit of playing the Indians or the Tigers or the Royals, right? Hypothetically, and you're frustrated more times than they had to play the Twins, who they're supposed to play six times, and they had to play the Twins nine times and the Royals three, because the scheduling lines up so that they can keep them in that city with more doubleheaders longer, so be it. I mean, that's the only way. It's never going to be even. Like, I've given up on the idea of even for this season. I'm just trying to figure out how you get to 60. That matters to me more than anything else.
I just don't want the win percentage. The Cardinals should
win
not.
Win percentage bothers me a lot more than they got to play the Royals more than the Tigers.
The team that is the cause of this, the St. Louis Cardinals, should not benefit in any way. Both off of the win percentage.
They should have to play 60 games and a million doubleheaders.
Yeah, they should not be the benefactor toward their postseason hopes because they only got five games in the first 2.5 weeks of the season while everybody else was getting it in. You should not benefit off of that. And unfortunately, I think there's going to be a team one way or the other that, you know, is either hurt by this or does benefit. That's not the Cardinals because of just the way the schedule is going to have to work out. But if they have to find a way to get a game in on Friday, and the text line points it out, they said you can't just plug in the taxi squad. If teammates are still contracting the virus, then you expose the new players and other teams to the virus. My understanding is, one, the taxi squad is already kept separate from everybody to begin with. So those guys, they're being tested like the Royals. Alternate
they're
side.
They're your team for the next 2 weeks.
The Royals, for
the
example.
The team's isolating. We're done.
Relate to Kansas City. If the same thing was going on here, the Royals players at the T-Bones Park, they're still going through testing protocols. They're separate from everybody else. The Cardinals have the same setup. Their players on the team that tested positive aren't near everybody else on the team already. Yeah. They already separated it. So like, you could easily put in the taxi squad players. I know there's an incubation period and there's more players that may come up. And I think that's probably part of the texter's argument. Like, we don't know if there's another player that's still on the roster that might pop up tomorrow that tests positive. I guess that's why
that entire roster goes away.
Yeah, just move
isolating.
On from them for a few days.
I'm not saying let's call up five guys from the taxi squad so you can fill it. I'm saying the 30-man taxi squad is now your team for the next 14 days.
Yep.
We're going to isolate your entire Major League Baseball team because you screwed this up so bad. Because based on win percentage, the Braves have played eight more games than the Marlins. And the Marlins have a better winning percentage. Should they really deserve to win the division? They're playing well. They're 7-3. They got a better winning percentage than them. But should they really get to win the division? Even though they've only played 10 games versus 18, it doesn't seem fair.
Well, hopefully the Marlins will have an opportunity to actually make those games up, though.
Yeah.
Well, they're on track now.
Five games behind.
At least the Marlins are on track. The Cardinals are in a worse spot than anybody else as far as impacting the schedules.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to some trash. This one is a doozy. No question about it. And it relates to the former CEO of McDonald's. Apparently, McDonald's has sued its former CEO for having consensual sexual relationship with three employees, then lying and committing fraud to cover it all up.
Even worse.
The real kicker, the suit reveals he dressed up as Ronald McDonald each time he had sex.
Oh, no. What? What the hell?
Ronald, like, that's the creepiest thing. Ronald
every
McDonald's,
time?
Ronald McDonald's is creepy anyway.
Who would
Can
agree
you
agree to that?
I mean, hey.
Like, so when they were meeting, did he have to like set aside like 30 minutes to get dressed up?
Like, did he do the makeup or just the suit?
It's so creepy.
Did he do the whole makeup?
Yeah, I feel like
the whole get up. Yeah,
you got to do all of it. Huh? Uh-huh. If you're going to get in the Ronald McDonald suit to have sex, you got to put on the makeup.
I think so.
And the wig and all of it, not even just the big shoes or something.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So
does he do that
I'm assuming he's married. Like, does he do that, like, with his wife, too?
Like, we're not here to kink shame
somebody,
on the show.
Somebody's loving
Let's
it.
Just
I
let
don't know.
People live their lives.
Yeah.
But you can't have sex with employees you're not supposed to have sex with, then lie about having sex with those employees, knowing full well that you used to dress up like Ronald McDonald to do it. You took too many steps here to get in trouble. Like, how did you think you weren't going to get caught? Look at all the rules you were breaking. He probably wasn't even supposed to use that costume. He was breaking that rule alone. God, do you think that that was like somebody else's costume who had to wear that after and had no idea that he had just... Or did he just own a separate one?
I would hope he's got his... At least, hopefully, he has his own Ronald McDonald costume.
What, you think just like
costume.
Every executive, they just give a Ronald McDonald costume?
I mean,
dude,
if you're the CEO,
that was definitely
he's the
some
CEO.
Poor employee's costume.
No, I mean, he better have his own.
I would imagine he has his own. There's not a bunch of people walking around the corporate headquarters in Ronald McDonald's. Dude. By the way, that would be terrifying. Could you imagine walking in a building with 10 Ronald McDonald's? It would freak me out.
Oh, yeah.
I'd quit.
Just leave your job?
Yeah. I don't need that.
You don't need that stress in your day? There's no way he had his own costume.
I'm just not even buying the fact that he did.
Just
I'm not, I'm not
buy
buying the fact that he
that
actually did that.
Whenever you have you ever actually seen like a Ronald McDonald at a McDonald's, aside from like the plastic statues?
Ooh, never personally.
No.
Has anyone text line 913-576-7610? Have you ever seen a real one in real life? I don't think I have. Have you?
Not a.
Definitely the statues.
Yeah, the statues, and then on video you've seen the, but not actually in person. I've never seen the actual. Maybe that's because this guy's been using the costume the whole time. I don't know.
Well, I hope he got on eBay or something and got his own. I'm
so now I'm glad that now everybody
can
think. The next time they see that image of Ronald McDonald, now they can.
With this one exec who was breaking
think
all
the rules. Think of this executive. Yeah.
People, I do not get it.
What does Ronald McDonald sound like? I don't really remember.
I guess in my head,
I barely remember
just
him in
like,
the commercials.
Like he sounds like Bozo. I just assume he sounds like every other clown.
Because didn't he used to talk in all the commercials?
I
just don't remember.
I think I'm not a big fan of clowns. I would imagine this that Ronald it's like just like some creepy deep voice actually clown, just like really creepy.
Hey baby,
I think it's just like absolutely creepy.
I'm not afraid of them, but nobody actually likes clowns.
Someone must.
Somebody was definitely
people like decorate their houses and stuff with that stuff.
I mean, whoever he was having the relationship was definitely loving it. I don't know. I thought Burger King was definitely more the have it your way. I think that was Burger King, not McDonald's, but apparently not
no
the
good.
Case for that. No,
this is all no good.
No,
this
all
is
right.
All very bad.
Coming up next, we head into the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get to the forum. Rob Britton from the Drive stops by. We'll get his thoughts on college football, maybe not happening this year.
Cody and Gold weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.